We are in Mishlei. Today is February 12th. And here in Perek Tes, the beginning of Perek Tes. Now, we've used the first few chapters of Mishlei to render some introductory definitions of not just what the book's agenda is. It's to make you want the better things in life. From chapter 11 and on, we'll tell you how to do that. The first chapters are just dedicated to get you to what, like they say, the first year in yeshiva is just to make you want to learn. And then from there on, hopefully things will kick in, some skills will kick in. So along the way, I'm being a little repetitive here, but maybe you weren't here for that early. There is a in the Perush of the Rokeach, if you recall, it's a blue book that looks like this. I published it. He gives you like the what he thinks is the Seder Halimut, which you're supposed to learn. Now, he doesn't have to invent anything. Pirkei Avos tells us that at 5, you should start studying the Bible. At 10, you should start studying Mishnah. And at 15, you should start studying Gemara. And everything else moves from there. Is there room for diktuk and history and about some geometry and some astronomy? So you take that for granted. You start with Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. There are Gemaras that say you should divide your day into 3 in this realm, and you can evolve that as you get older. Fine. There is a school called the Bar Kai school in Israel that only teaches Navi until they're 10. No Mishnah, no Gemara. And they only teach Mishnah until they're 15, just like the Mishnah says. And then they're ready for Gemara, but they have learned all of Mishnah. They go straight through Mishnah and they learn it well. So, okay, then they see Gemara for the first time at 15. And this is a real yeshiva program in Israel. Okay, so that Rokeach I mentioned, that's back in chapter 2. He says, oh, of course you should fill your belly with that, right? So the Rambam, not only in the Mor Nevuchim, but the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah talks about, in addition to all that, which is called Davar Katan, you should also study something called Davar Gadol. So what is Davar Katan and Davar Gadol? So this is a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah that speaks of the accolades of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Gemara sound familiar? Dav Chav Ches. And it lists a whole host of some hokey things, like he knew how to talk to animals. He knew how to hear the wind warn the trees about what's coming. He knew it. He was so intuitive. He was beyond, So, and at the end of listing about 20 things, he knew all the kind of parables of the foxes, knew every bit of wisdom that anyone could. He was Aristotle. Then it says at the very end, and he also knew Davar Katan, the Davar Gadol. So the Davar Katan is Ibayos de Rava Abaye. Ibayos de, what do we mean by Ibayos de Rava Abaye? Because there are lots of disputants in Shas, right? There's Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Come on, what do you mean? Why Rav and Abaye? All right, for one, the good answer to that is Rav and Abaye argue more than any two other people in Shas. And they're considered quite late. Like they're the poskim. There's more Pesach Halacha that come out of Rav and Abaye than any two other people, Tanoim and Amoraim. So, okay, but it's Ibayilahu, Ibayas to Rav and Abaye and Rav. Because the real bread and butter of Gemara and what Rav and Abaye come to do for us is to differentiate. Let's just try to give a definition of fire. There are 10 definitions of fire in Shas. They're all, maybe you can try with Pekias, which Gemara is the most interested in determining what fire is. I won't. Okay, that's good. It's a Gemara that is about a sacrifice. It's Korban Pesach. Okay, it's the Gemara in Pesachim, the sixth parak, that talks about what invalidates a Korban Pesach if it's not Tzli Eish. Right? You'd be amazed that Korban Pesach has to be roasted, right, on a fire. And the Gemara discusses the various definitions of fire to see what invalidates a Korban Pesach, what's okay for a Korban Pesach. So there's fire that you're not supposed to cook milk and meat together. What's the heating process? Can you microwave milk and meat together? Right. The Torah says that if a Kohen's daughter commits znus, she gets the punishment of sreifa. What is that? Right. But Rabbanan, we have lots of inyanim of fire, lighting the menorah, lighting the Shabbos candles, lighting havdalah. Right. There's fire called a michvas eish. If someone burns a hand, it could be some Parshas Mitzora, there could be some tuma of the guf from what's called the michvas eish, and not to mention Hilchos Shabbos, one of the 39 malachos is fire, and cooking, right? You'd be amazed that how inconsistent these definitions are, and in each case you have to know why is this considered fire for Havdalah, but it's not considered fire for the menorah. Right? Why is this considered fire for Shabbos to make it usher for Havara, but it's not considered fire for the Korban Pesach? Because each one, this is what's known as Ibayus Derava V'Abaye. Each one of these has possibly a different definition. Definition of food. There's a lot of different definitions for the bracha. You see, one Masechta is very interested in this is Maseches Nedarim. Because Nedarim, if you say, I make a Neder that fire is forbidden to me. What's fire? Can such a person use a microwave? Right. I make a neder that food is prohibited to me. What constitutes food? Right. For a bracha, for a neder, for okay. So that's known as yibayis derav rabaya. That's davar katan. What's davar gadol? Anyone guess? Gemara mentions it. Davar katan is gemara svara. To remember, we what made the chacham so much smarter than everyone else at the seder, because he said ma'edos chukim shpatim. To the rasha, everything he sees at the table is. What's his question? Ma ha'avodah hazos lachem. To him, it's all tircha. You get it to him that the Yerushalmi says ma ha'tircha shana. Right? So what makes him a chachma is he knows how to classify. Right? Mm-hmm. You learned about in biology, about classifications, right? So that gets into a higher level of cognitive thinking. Okay, remember in the beginning we learned six levels of cognitive thinking. Right? The highest level is to draw predictions. The Navi Lavav Chachma. The Gemara says when you get to such a high level of chachma, you can strive to be a Navi. Because you're inspired? Well, because you can make predictions. Mm-hmm. With a high degree of reliability and success. Okay? So what do you think is Dover Gadol? The Gemara mentions two things that are Dover Gadol. And even this, not a whole parak, but a good chunk of the beginning of the second parak in Chagiga, dedicated to defining these two things. The parak is called Ein Dorshin, which is ironic because it's what you're not supposed to learn unless you've completely filled your belly with previous learnings, right? And what you shouldn't be learning unless you're learning it from a very good source. It's known as Masa Merkava and Masa Bereshis. Masa Bereshis are the physical secrets of human development that requires a serious knowledge, right? And I don't mean that we need to know chemistry, let's say, to know how certain emulsifiers chemically interact for kashrus reasons, you know, things like that? Is this still considered the food that it is, or does it change itself? I don't mean that. I mean studying these things just for the sake of knowing how God's world runs. And the Rokeach wrote that back in chapter 2. Remember, he read all the things he says you should know. He says, Choch Teva. What would you call Choch Masat Teva? It's biology, maybe even physics. Nature, the chokhmah of nature, and how the world runs. That's called Masa Bereishis. Masa Merkava is, you know, was the source of that is Yechezkel, the first chapter, I think we read on Shavuos, right? Gemara tells the story of a child that was jumped the gun. He studied Masa Merkava before he was ready. And remember what happened to him? He burnt up. He went crazy. His mind gave in. So the rabbi said, you know, maybe we should take Yechezkel out of the Bible. Because it's harm. So they said, no, let's keep Yechezkel in, but just let's warn the people. Don't take an advanced Kabbalah class before you. All right. So the boy, there's a Kabbalah center, right? People don't know how to read Aleph Beis, but they're studying at the Kabbalah center. The Masa Merkava is a very esoteric prophecy at the beginning of Yechezkel. According to Chazal, Yeshayahu, chapter 6, the Haftorah just we read a few weeks ago, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, right, and Yisroel, is also Masa Merkava. And Chavakuk, familiar with that, Navi? Chavakuk, chapter 2, also is a Masa Merkava Nevoah. What is it?
Second
yes, yes. Shigio note at the end of the sefer. What is it? What is Masma? What made that child die? So it's what maybe the story on that, the next page, as you've heard of this story, Dalid Nichnisu La Pardes. Four men entered the Pardes. Paradise? The Pardes, meaning, Osva says, just to figure out all the secrets of the universe. Masa Merkava. And it made one of them die, Ben Azai. It made one of them go crazy, Ben Zoma. It made one of them turn to be a heretic, Lusha Ben Avuya. But only Rabbi Kiva came out whole and insane. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai studied. Right? The Rokeach doesn't go that far. He says Chochmas HaTeva. Then he says Chochmas HaMazolos VaKochavim. He didn't mean astrology. He meant astronomy. Right? I don't get in here about whether astrology is something that we believe in as a, you know, the two very different schools on this. Right? Rambam thinks that it's all Narishkeit. It's just people believe in it. And if you believe in it, it might hold sway over you. There's no such thing as necromancy. There's no such thing as magic. Necromancy is calling back someone from the dead. Right? No such thing as a story like that. It's an actual bogus. How convincing it looks. It's bogus. Human being doesn't have that power. Rashi and others took it literally. Right? It looks to me that the legs of that table need to be pushed out a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Just you did it right there. Very good. Thanks. So that the Rokeach just said that whatever is, with all the knowledge that's out there, we will serve Hashem better by knowing it. And I'm telling you all of this because of Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph. Take a look. Chachmos Bansa Besa Chatzva Amudeha Shiva. Chachmos Bansa Besa Chatzva Amudeha Shiva. Have you ever heard of this? Chachmos, a lot of different types of chachma, helps build her house. And she, chatzva means she carves out seven pillars in front of her house. Have you ever seen such a nice house? I've seen two pillars in front of the house. What's the seven pillars in front of the house? What is this, the Lincoln Memorial? Have you ever heard of what this source is? So there are different opinions in Chazal. What are the seven? Seven is, of course, a nice cyclical number, right? Because everything else, all the time frames that we have, are all served up for us by a celestial object, right? The day, the month, and the year. We can arbitrarily divide the day into 24 hours or 10 hours, and maybe arbitrarily divide the hour 1,600 or 1,080 chalokim. If you hear when the announcer Shodesh, right? 2 minutes and four chalokim. So a chalik is 108 over 360 of an hour. It can be broken down further, but it's a little more than 3 to the second, 3 seconds, right? So you can just arbitrarily divide the day or the hour into anything you want, but it's done. And look at the moon for the month, but the week is something that is arbitrary. When the French Revolution, remember what they wanted to do? They wanted to make, I think, a 10-day week. 10-day week. They wanted to increase productivity, so they were going to make a 10-day week. None of this Sabbath for the Christians and the Jews. Just a 10-day week, 1 day rest afterwards, and just keep going on. So the week is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu set aside for us through the elements of creation. And eight becomes this thing that's lamalim in a tepa. So seven is masa bereishis. Eight becomes masa merkava. Mm-hmm. So he's telling us here, don't look into masa merkava. That's going to get you in trouble. Stick with the seven chachmas that entail masa bereishis. So in different writings of Rishonim, the different opinions of what make up the seven, okay? And there are about 9 or 10 altogether. But there's some that they all have in common. Certainly, Chochmas HaTeva, biology, they all include something that about the wisdom and or the Chochma of numerology, numbers, you might call mathematics. Right? Some differentiate between what we would call biological sciences and physical sciences. Some can combine the two. Some include music and art as one, or music and art as two separate chachmas. Right? They couldn't be aware, but we are very well aware now of how different parts of your brain are exercised with different types of these chachmas. Right? Linguists claim that the reason for the genius and the success of the Hebrew speaker, as well as the Chinese speaker for that matter, is because of the extreme complication in reading the language. Hebrew is probably a lot easier than Chinese because Hebrew is 100% phonetic without exception. There's no exception to the phonetic nature of Hebrew.
Right, so why is it so difficult?
Because you have to use two different parts of your brain at the same time. Uh-huh. To make out what this letter says. And then, after some time, they're not even going to give you those vowels. Mm-hmm. Right? So we teach, I remember chaveri, I'm reading stupid words like tzikonu, zibodivu, abiviku, and you know, it's adrabi, when the words don't make sense, but you're getting used to, and you're getting used to doing it fast. Now, it's such a shanda. My seventh grade, my eighth grade, my college students, they stutter and they can't yet make out the word. Forget about that. For the rest of their lives, they're never going to be able to say Haftorah. I mean, we're not teaching to read the right way.
House in front of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Haftorah, you get the vowels. And they're nervous up there. And
the
Sephardic,
you know. They don't know how to read.
Right, so Sephardic know how to read. Why? Because... Look, watch how they daven. They're saying every word out loud.
They really teach them when they're kids.
Right. So, when, you know, I can't really do this in college, but in grade school, when we're reading a pasuk, I make everybody in the class read together. It's a little hokey, but I look around. Is it reading? Because otherwise, how many pesukim can you do in 40 minutes? Only a third of the class ever gets to read in any particular day. So once a week, you're reading out loud. This way, everyone's reading every pasuk. Just get used to reading, right? So this exercise of the brain of reading the vowel with the consonant, and then at some stage, I don't know, when does that happen? Third grade, you're reading Rashi without any, oh, for goodness sakes, without any Nukudot. Now you got to read the Shagisari without Nukudot. Now what they're doing is all the Sfarim are printed with Nukudot now. You know, the Mishnah Berurah with Nukudot, the Gemara is with Nukudot now, everything is with Nukudot. Okay. But in my time, everybody leaned on their bar mitzvah. So now that exercise of a 12-year-old boy learning how to do all that, which involves the consonant, the vowel, the trough, and the stress. It's not the ohafta, it's the ohafta. The ohafta is a different word than v'ohafta. The ohafta means you loved. The ohafta means you will love. So you have to do four things at the same time with this word. And you're nervous, and you know, so that person is an Olympic thinker. We don't even realize it. There's one instrument that also tends to exercise both these parts of the brain, is piano. Right. So a violin also is pretty hard, you know. But you know you got to do something with this, and okay, with this hand, okay, I get you know, but the piano sometimes the stress between the two parts. It's one thing if you're just doing but sometimes the two together is just it short circuits the brain. So if you can, you know, you get used to doing that, and so reading Hebrew is very helpful to that. Okay, I'm just saying. So the Sheva Chochmas were
as I'm developing my Hebrew and developing my piano, if I go away from one for a while, the other one develops also. They really help each other.
Yeah, this is what interesting. Yep. Mm-hmm. I can say from personal experience, I agree. Yes. So take a look now I'm giving you an example of this. You see, let's first read the Gemara. Chachmos Banso Besa. This page that I have before you is like a Torah Tmima on Mishlei. It gives you the Gemaras, and then at the bottom where it says Divrei Yaakov, he explains the Gemara. You all familiar with the Torah Tmima? Right? Rav Aaron Levy Epstein. Aaron Levy Epstein is the Aruch HaShulchan. His son was Baruch HaLevy Epstein. Torah Tmima lived into the almost the middle of the 20th century. He wrote a book on Chamisha Chumshei Torah, where you have the Pasuk, Rashi, Onkelos, and then he brings down Gemaras that comment on these Pesukim. It's not 100% exhaustive, but pretty much so. And then the real point of this work is his notes of what the Gemara saw in the Pasuk to comment what he did. So to have that together with Rashi is a really good exercise in seeing how Chazal did the Pesukim. So let's see this one. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Chesem et Aleph, if you see it. I'm in the middle of the page where it says Divrei Chachamim. Chachmos ban sabesa, chachmos, you see it, zum midaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shebara es kol ha'olam kulo b'chachma. Okay. In the Tosfos and Brachos, in the ninth paragraph, it says, Asher yar es adam b'chachma. Right? What's the chachma? You've got to study anatomy, and you'll see what the amazing chachma is. How can anyone study the eye and not, and think that this evolved by itself? Right? There's more technology in the eye than in the entire space program. Right? So that's that. Chachma, Asher Yetzar, is Hadam Chachma, is that we use what we ingest and we safely get rid of it, what we don't need. Now, I'm sorry to say that we humans, especially in the last 50 years, have started to eat very, very poorly. Stuff we should not be eating, and we're not eating the stuff we should be eating, and therefore we get trouble with that. We have all kinds of issues. I'm just saying. All right, so we have to invent other things like laxatives and soft toilet paper and preparation H and other things. Excuse me for being so graphic about this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is so beautifully set up for every part of it. But the only one thing that in the world that messes it up is us humans. Right? Animals do everything just what they're supposed to be doing. Right? Read through Baruch Nafshi, and you'll see what this Gemara is talking about in chapter 104 that we say in Rosh Chodesh. Beautiful description of how nature works around along so perfectly. Only the Rishayim mess it up. Right? Okay, so let's read on. V'chotzma amudei ha-sheva, second line. Elu shivas yimei bereishis. So remember I was talking about that before with the sun and the moon. Right? This is nature. Tavcha tivcha mascha yena af orcha shulchana. That's the next pasuk. It says that your wisdom will slaughter the meat you need to eat, and it'll make the wine sweet at your table. Now you see why the Rambam said that when you were young, we should fill our bellies with bread, with meat and wine. He's talking about with the main elements of wisdom. There'll be time for dessert. There'll be time to fill your bellies with the higher Davar Gadol. The Gemara admitted that everything Rav and Abayit I described before is called Davar Katan. Right? Okay, continue. Elu yamim unaharos v'chol tzorchei ha'olam. Those are the various parts of the world that we put to use. Shulchan ha'aroseh ha'tzikra ze adam v'chava. Agape Rome Chorus, these are just the next two. So can Rabba Barofana Romix Agape Uksiv Alkise. Is it on a pedestal or is it on a chair? Tchila Agape will have sof Alkise. At first, this Chachma just puts you on a small pedestal, but then it'll put you on a Kise, which means a throne. You can become a king by studying this. This may be the first hint at really what this book is trying to do for you. He wants to make you king. How do I know this? Because the 31st chapter, the last chapter in the book, talks about a king who has acquired a vast kingdom and he is happily ruling over it in justice. But then the king's mother comes to him and says, that you may lose your kingdom if you don't guard yourself against your desire. Kings generally have joy at their disposal, let's put it that way, right? And this author, Shlomo, writes about this in Koheles, right? Chapter 2, Anas Chabiyayin, he said, I tried this joy and that joy, I must try the Epicureanism. And at the end, he concludes, this did not bring me meaning in life, did not bring me joy, it did not bring me a good conclusion. So no one else should try it, because who could test whether Epicureanism is the best way of life more than me, right? Maybe Jeff Bezos, but still. The mother comes to him and says, specifically, she says, if you give in to wine and you give in to women, you will lose your kingdom. Now, the wine is indicative of the incredible ostentation that Shlomo showed off. Not just to the Queen of Sheba. You know this story, right? Is that familiar? Right? But the ostentation that is described after he finished building the Beis HaMikdash. He imported the wildest animals from the zoo, and turkeys, and parrots, and flamingos, and peacocks. I mean, this is not measures. This is in the pasuk, just so he could show everybody that I go to the furthest ends of the world, and I have the best riches, and the best spices, and the best gems. And it says he slaughtered 20,000 fatlings a day for his staff. And who needs all this? It's bloated government. The Haraya, when they rebelled against him and split the kingdom, it was over taxes. Good. It was over taxes. They said, you're overtaxing us. Your father made the burdens of, on us too great. So he spoke in metaphors. He said, my father's thigh is thinner than my pinky. Right. You want to know taxes? Get out of my sight. And they rebelled. And he put together an army to fight them. And the prophet thankfully convinced him that's not a good thing. There are 10 tribes, you'll want. You know. Okay, so at the end of, say, from this book, Mishlei, the man's mother says, you are now the king, but you can still lose your kingdom over wine or women. Just my queen can also lose a kingdom over, you know, whatever, but that you can lose your kingdom if you give in to your sexual deprivation, degradation, and you give in to substance abuse. And then he realizes how right she is. And he bows to her and then sings her a song. You know what song that is, right? So everyone thinks that you're singing Yeshus Chayim for your wife. No, you're not. You're singing it for your mother. And you call the children to the table for Yeshus Chayim. You know? Right? He says in the pasuk, the man for his mother, for him, that you made it to be king. Hold on to it. And I submit to you, that's us. That's us. If you read through Mishlei and you incorporate the law of Mishlei, which is an amazing thing, you're king. But you can still lose it over arayos, what often weakens our inhibition to arayos, which is, you know, I'm not sure. The science says that it weakens your urge too, maybe. But I don't know. It doesn't matter. When you have no inhibition, it doesn't matter how weak your urge is. There's nothing worse than having no inhibition. Right? You get it? It's, remember, David got Uriah drunk. And even drunk, he didn't go home to his wife. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So that's what... these are our seven pillars. And this is the approach towards acquiring our own personal kingdom. And it says at the end, first it'll be a pedestal, but then it'll be a throne. Okay, now look, everyone has to be satisfied with their own, you know, everyone builds their own castle. Be careful not to look to someone else's castle. Everybody at this table has a puzzle that you put together, and it's around your table, maybe it has 1,000 pieces, right? And you got to work on your puzzle. Finishing your puzzle means that you've done properly what God put you here to do. Sometimes I look at your puzzle, wow, those are nice colors. If I take any of your pieces, none of those pieces are fitting in my puzzle. It may look nicer for me, right, at the moment. Because we always look at what someone else has and say, oh, you know, that seems to be a better life than mine. So here is where this is, I close with this, is that a life of meaning where you supplement and assure that all the things you pursue have, now, again, the seven chachmas are different, the different sciences. Torah is the one that's lamala. Torah is the, you know, they don't count as one of these chachmas and Torahs. These things are things that serve your Torah. Okay. I ask you a question. Is Torah the meat and the wine? And these seven things are the dessert? Mm-hmm. What do you think? At least in the Rambam scheme. Different people write different things about this. Yes, that's how the Rambam says it. Torah is the meat and the wine, is the main meal. These things are the you can learn them alongside Torah. I think in our day school movements we do. Right? I'm very impressed with some of the knowledge I see my seventh and eighth grade students get outside of the Torah realm. Mm-hmm. It's half a day Torah and half a day those other things. And those are things that are called Davar Gadol, and they make they enhance everything in your Torah. Again, it could be because you might want, I think we're davening upstairs. You know, we can daven here, I guess.
There's two people upstairs.
You want to bring them down? Yeah, bring them down here. We'll daven spread out here. So you might need to know astronomy if you're going to write fancy calendar works and you're going to help people figure out when it's Rosh Chodesh. But the point of the Gemara and Chatzvah Amud HaShiva is that these things are in and of themselves, whether or not it's going to actually serve Torah. Right? The Rambam calls these things the Shivcha. She's the handmaiden and the Torah is the Gevira. But I still I think there's enough commentary that says that these seven things are worthy in and of themselves to enhance your place in this world, to become the king that we're meant to be. Okay. All right. Okay, that's good. Next Monday, I'm going to be in Israel. Hopefully asleep at this time next week.